all across America and around the world. You're listening to America's number one program for veterans, Veterans Radio. And now, live from the studios of WDEO in Ann Arbor, Michigan, here's your host for today's program, former Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Republic of Vietnam, 1969, Dale Throneberry.
And good morning, America. How are you? This is Dale Throneberry coming to you from the studios of Bobby Maria Radio in beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan, where it's about, 20 below zero, it feels like. And I want to say welcome to Veterans Radio, the voice of America's veterans. We've got a great program for you today. We're going to be talking about a new documentary that's coming out by a gentleman named Keith Famey. It's about our Vietnam generation. It's about Vietnam veterans from the Detroit, Michigan area. And we're very excited to have Keith on the program, and we'll be bringing him on in just a moment. And for some of you that are listening in the local area, he was the one who did the documentary last year on Detroit, Our Greatest Generation, about the World War II veterans for the area. He's kind of a fascinating gentleman, and we'll get into that more as we go along. We're going to have some guests that are participants in the documentary. I want to remind you that if you go to our VietnamGeneration.com, the grand opening or the premiere of the documentary is next Friday evening at the Fox Theater in Detroit. And if you go onto that website, you can find information about getting tickets. I know we're all excited about going and meeting a lot of the Vietnam veterans from this area. Well, boy, I can take a breath now. It's been a very interesting week for everybody out there. There's lots of news going on in the world of military. And, Gary, I know that you had something, or there was an article that just came out about and you're going to talk about this a little bit more later, but about, I wanted to address the idea of the female dog handler, unfortunately, who was killed last week in Afghanistan. This is the first one.
She was the first female. There's been a number of dog handlers killed along with their dog, but she was the first female. And I see that the military is talking now about putting females in fighting units.
Yeah, they're very seriously looking at that, about opening up those combat MOSs to women.
How do you feel about that, Dale?
They can do the job.
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah, no, but I mean that's like firefighters and police and everything else. As long as if you can do the job, I don't care what your gender is.
I think about the more basic things like they don't have separate bathrooms
field. We had some women on the program that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they talk about working out with the line troops, and they said we just go out and do the same thing they do.
Yep. It sounds silly, but I've wondered about this, and I asked a grunt friend of mine, when you're out in the jungle, I said, and you have to go, what do you do? I mean, do you get out of sight, or do you stay in sight, or whatever? He says, hey, you just get used to it. You're amongst friends. You've got to watch your back.
You can't raise your hand and go, time out. I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back for this battle. And, I can remember a few experiences where we had, basically accidents because you couldn't stop.
That's the thing about war that people don't think of and they don't show in movies. And
in the movies they never go to the bathroom.
Right.
We don't want to get into that that topic too much. But we are going to be talking with a couple of Vietnam veterans today about their experiences, not only in Vietnam, but also in making this well-deserved documentary. I'm so excited to see this. Keith does a great job. He's got such an eye for these types of films. I'm just amazed.
I'm looking forward to it. I know the one that he did on Detroit, Our Greatest Generation, was superb. Just superb. Not bad for an old chef, right?
Yeah, chef, survivor. I mean, this guy's done an awful lot of things when it comes to entertainment. I'm sure that the movie industry in Detroit isn't hurting any. Well, each week on Veterans Radio, we do a segment entitled Welcome Home, and Gary is going to be welcoming home troops today.
Thank you, Dale. And indeed, we want to hear about your troops coming home. Go to veteransradio.net and send us an email. Dateline Fort Wainwright, Alaska. The troops of Task Force Denali, come up here. There we go. composed of soldiers from 1st Battalion, 52nd Aviation Regiment, 16th Combat Aviation Brigade, and supporting elements from U.S. Army returned from a three-month humanitarian deployment in support of flood relief operations in Pakistan. They flew over 3,500 hours, delivered more than 26 million pounds of relief supplies, and rescued more than 40,000 people. That's the side of the military we don't hear enough about.
That's true.
Dateline South Wichita, Kansas. More than 60 soldiers from the Kansas Air Force and Army National Guard returned after a deployment to Afghanistan. The agribusiness development team had been in Afghanistan teaching new ways and technologies to help increase agricultural production and improve the safety of the country's food. Five teams of Kansas soldiers with agricultural experience serve in partnership with Kansas State University. Another team is in place right now in the Lagman province of eastern Afghanistan. Again, our military does more than wage war. Actions like these will hopefully prevent war. Dateline TD Garden, formerly known as Fleet Center, the arena that replaced the historic Boston Garden. As part of the team's Military Appreciation Month, the Boston Celtics, and I want to say Celtics, and National Guards of Massachusetts, Maine, and New Hampshire hosted a welcome home salute to our troops that honored 18 soldiers recently returned from active duty. A Seats for Soldiers program gives Celtics fans the opportunity to donate their tickets and allow members of the armed services to attend in their seat. The soldiers are introduced one at a time, giving their name, hometown, rank, and number of deployments. The ticket holders can donate their tickets to the USO New England for distribution. Last season, over 500 tickets were donated to the Seats for Soldiers program. Great idea, Boston. How about other sports teams and universities? Great service there.
I just want to jump in with something
sure.
real quick, that there's going to be a dinner here at the University of Michigan next Friday night, which is kind of in competition to our documentary, but it's put on by the Student Veterans of America at the University of Michigan. And if you purchase a ticket for this, and you have to go to Student Veterans of America at Michigan, I believe someone will call in with the right website. But in addition to the dinner, they get tickets for the Michigan-Iowa game on Saturday, basketball game.
Really? That's
a pretty cool deal.
That's a pretty cool deal. Nice to see things like that going
yes,
on.
Yes, it is.
Especially at University of Michigan, which has not always been the most friendly. Going back 30, 40 years, what I mean is times have changed.
They have absolutely changed.
I mean that
changing
in a positive way.
Bringing ROTC back at Harvard, for Pete's sake.
Right. I meant that in a very, very positive way, not a negative way. Florida, Dateline Fort Stewart, Georgia. Florida Army National Guard soldiers returned from Kuwait and Iraq. They were members of the 53rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team, also known as the Gator Brigade, which includes the 53rd Brigade Special Troops Battalion, 53rd Brigade Support Battalion, 1st Squadron, 153rd Cavalry Regiment, the 1st Battalion, 124th Infantry Regiment, and the 2nd Battalion, 116th Field Artillery Regiment. Say that 10 times real fast.
Yeah, I wonder how you keep track of where you belong.
I have no idea. Oh, my. Dateline Louisville, Kentucky. I like this one. The Kentucky Air National Guard welcomed home 27 members of the 123rd Airlift Wing from Afghanistan, where they conducted resupply operations and troop transportation. Simple.
That was
and finally, on a somber note, Dateline Jackson, New Jersey. Corporal Alfred J. Brenner IV, United States Marine Corps, has returned to a fundraiser welcome home party. On October 24, 2010, while assigned as an MP, military working dog handler, Brenner was seriously injured by an IED explosion in Kandahar, Afghanistan. He suffered severe leg, chest, arm, and eye injuries. The IED blast also killed his dog, Grief. Corporal Brenner will be sent to Seattle, Washington for 6 months to continue his rehab. Welcome Home is sponsored by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. Visit them online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. Welcome home.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we are back on Veterans Radio, and joining us on the phone right now is Keith Famey, and Keith is the producer, director, videographer, editor, everything else for his latest documentary called Our Vietnam Generation. Keith, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Oh, thank you very much. I can't take credit for being the editor. That's another amazing guy. Named Nick Rizek, but thank you for saying that.
Well, I'm sure that you kind of stood over his shoulder while he was working on it.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time in the edit suite. There's no question about that.
Well, Keith, I wanted to welcome you back to Veterans Radio and let our audience know that Keith is... you've done an awful lot of things as far as in your lifetime. You were on, CBS's Survivor Series. You also are a world-renowned chef, and you were on the Cooking Channel with a program, and you also... Don't you have a couple of restaurants in the Detroit area?
No, thank God. I don't have restaurants anymore. I changed that whole career change was probably 8 or 9 years ago, but that I stepped away from the stove and full-time and behind the camera doing interviews and documentaries, and it's been a really wonderful change for me. I've really enjoyed it. It's the most gratifying thing I've ever done, being able to tell stories of individuals in our community, and of course, you know, now... The story we're doing for our Vietnam veterans is paramount. It's different than anything I've ever done before because it's a group of guys and gals that just never had a chance to tell the story or get the story told. And the time is now. And as they're all approaching in their 60s and so on, they're looking back on their life and they're reflecting upon their time in the service and society. And that door's opening and it's difficult for them. And what we're doing. With this film, Bob Gillette and American House, is we're doing something that I feel that gives the individual Vietnam veteran an opportunity to put their head up high, not only for the service that they did then, but who they are in the community now. And I keep stressing this point over and over again. It's who the Vietnam veteran is in the community. This is what society's kind of lost track on. They don't realize the value of the Vietnam veteran. There are policemen, our fire chiefs, there are politicians, there are doctors, our business people. And when a soldier comes back from our current conflict and they've been killed, the first person there is a Vietnam veteran. It doesn't matter what time of day, it doesn't matter how cold it is, they'll stand by that family's side. And that is that, and they do it so humbly. Humbly. I mean, this is a group of guys that are so humble and so appreciative that somebody's just willing to listen to them. It's making for a riveting, emotional, heartfelt film.
Well, as I said earlier, we're very excited to go and see it, and I wanted to bring on Bob Gillette of American House onto the program. Bob, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Dale.
I wanted to know how American House got involved in this.
Well, American House got involved in it really when the start of The Greatest Generation, where Keith had an event in Birmingham, and he asked me to invite our World War II veterans to this event. And I said, oh, that's fine, Keith. And it was dinner. There was a red carpet. They got off their bus. There was help me with it. What, Keith? A Scottish.
Bagpiper.
They were all recognized as they came off, and they were so taken by the presentation and the roll call that I saw what it did to them and how it extended their lives and made them whole people and. it was that I got involved in The Greatest Generation, and we went to Normandy and filmed it, and we were a major sponsor in that. And then Keith found that during that the Vietnam veterans were the mentors many times to the World War II veterans. And so he said, well, maybe we should do the Vietnam story. And I said, well, that's fine. And let's see if we can't get some other people to participate in it. And as this thing rolled out, there weren't an awful lot of people that wanted to commit the funds that it was going to take. And after about 6 weeks of trying, I said, well, Keith, I'm just going to close my eyes and write a check, and let's get this story told. And that's basically what happened.
Well, of course, we want to...
Dale, I can jump in for a second.
Okay.
Bob is he's being very humble here. First of all, let me just say that, you know, Bob has done more than be just a sponsor, and now he's the co-executive producer. Bob will actually come to the video filming. He's come to interviews. He's come to all kinds of events just to be behind the scenes to meet these veterans, just to get a feel for what we're doing, which is far beyond, you know, above and beyond. But, you know, I had to come to Jesus meeting a few months ago. I pretty much thought we were going to lose the show and the whole event at Fox. And really, if it wasn't for Bob, we wouldn't have this conversation right now. That would be nothing but tapes in a box.
Well, I certainly can understand, and we appreciate American House too, because they've been helpful to Veterans Radio also, and Keith and Bob, of course, we know that it's how important it is to get these stories out, and you know we greatly appreciate what you're doing, and it's just another extension of what we're doing, and it's like you say, you get a calling, something just suddenly hits you in the side of the head and said, this is what you're supposed to do.
Correct.
Right, that's exactly correct. It. And the event at the Fox is an evening that, you know, we hope every Vietnam veteran that is listening to this station makes it, a real effort to come down to experience that moment of all being together and seeing their story told. But even more important than that, they bring somebody with them that can be educated and learn the story of the Vietnam veteran, learn how the value of the Vietnam veteran is in the community today. You know, it's great to have all the Vietnam veterans sitting in the Fox Theater hearing their story and feeling great about themselves. That's very important. But it's even more important to have a younger generation individual sitting there and understanding and seeing the story that's never been taught in schools and understanding who a Vietnam veteran is. That's even more important. And that's what we hope happens on January 28th at the Fox.
I think you will do that. I've got to have Matt, I want you to, could you just play those first two clips of the CD that Keith sent me? Just listen in, guys.
The public accepted World War II. They honored their veterans as heroes. We all did. Vietnam veterans, nobody wanted that war. When we came home, they treated us like we were outcasts. All we did was what our country asked us to do.
War isn't pretty, and you talk to a soldier, he'll tell you. It's not a good thing.
The reason you fought in Vietnam was to save the guy on your left and the guy on your right, and they were watching your back. So you came down from the wars, surviving and helping your buddies to survive. But when I walked in and saw Mama Son crying, and she said, Marines go, VC come, something snapped in my brain and said, this is why we're fighting. This is why we're here, because Mama Son is afraid of the terrorist activities of Vietnam. And so I volunteered to stay in country, and I fought the rest of my war for Mama Son.
Thank you. Keith, I don't know who those two people were, but they just kind of...
The first one was Pat Daniels, wasn't it, Keith?
Well, I'll tell you who all three of them were. The first one was Woody Horn from Chapter 154, who has been a very important individual in our community of Vietnam veterans. And you see, when you ever see the color guard from Chapter 154, it's Woody Horn that's leading them. This whole film started out because I was on my way to work last September, almost 2 years ago now, September, and I was driving past the cemetery in Novi, and Woody Horn and his guys were out there in front of that monument on the wall, holding a 24-hour vigil for the Vietnam veteran soldiers that had not come home yet. And I stopped there and said, what are you doing? He says, oh, we're holding a vigil. I said, how often have you done this? This is our 23rd year. I said, you've been standing here for 23 years. You guys spent 48 hours. You're sleeping in the cemetery for the – that is dedication. And you can't define dedication like that than a Vietnam veteran when they say, we will not let our last man stand there. And they've grown old in front of this wall. The next person was Senator John Papa George, did two tours in Vietnam, retired as a colonel. I mean, amazing guy. People just don't know that Senator Papa George was boots on the ground in the jungles in Vietnam. The guy was responsible with his team identifying the Ho Chi Minh Trail when he realized that these notches in the trees that were made during the day were moss that would illuminate at night so that the Viet Cong could understand where their trail was.
I know, and we're hoping to have the senator on later on in the program, but we do have Pat Daniels on the air right now. Pat, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
And Pat is the president of the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 154, which you were just talking about. That. Pat,
yes.
How did you get involved in this in the documentary? Is the way that Keith explained it?
Yes, the chapter got involved again, as you were saying. We've done that vigil out in Novi at the POW monument for. This coming year will be our 25th anniversary. We went out there 25 years ago, and we said we would do it every year until they all came home, and slowly but surely we're getting there. We just found two more from Michigan, and we're down to 50. So we got a ways to go, and we'll be there if we have to go in wheelchairs. We've made that commitment, and we intend to keep that commitment. But we got involved in it through Keith seeing us out there at Oakland Hills. And then he came to the vet center that we run. We run a veteran support center in Roseville. And we also are the keepers of the Michigan Vietnam Veterans Traveling Memorial. So we're out there all the time doing things. And God bless Keith and Bob Gillette. Keith, Bob, for stepping up and saying, let's get it done. And Keith, for thinking our stories are important enough to tell.
All right.
For us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Bill, I'd like just to throw a thought in for you. When I first met Pat Daniels, it was with the Michigan Traveling Wall, and I said I saw the dedication that went into this, and I saw the time and the energy and all of his fellow servicemen, and I said to him, but Pat, why do you do this? And he says, well, because nobody else will. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't that something else that he and all of his compadres are doing this together. It was overwhelming to me because I knew the amount of time that went into this and the energy and what he was trying to accomplish. And I said, my God, there is an example. And so when it came time for me, I said, well, it's easy for me to do something. I can just write a check. But look what Pat Daniels and his group is doing. I mean, there's just no comparison between the two. So my admiration goes to Pat and Keith. I mean, these fellows are in the trenches. They've done it. And they're an inspiration to me. That's all I can tell you.
Well, I think it's important to point out that the Vietnam Veterans of America are across the country. There are so many different chapters that are doing very similar activities. I know out here in Ann Arbor, we have our honor guard that go to every single veterans, you know, funeral, and you know, send packages over to Iraq and Afghanistan. And I know that this is a story that's heard around the country. And I want to. Just make sure, Pat, I want to thank you on behalf of the Vietnam veterans that I know for what you're doing. I was looking at the pictures that you were showing that I got the other day from Keith, and you're out there in the snow and in the rain and everything. It's like we're at Arlington almost, with the Tomb of the Unknown, the dedication that I'm seeing from all of these Vietnam veterans. But Pat, let me ask you, how soon did you get involved in veterans activities when you got home?
1984, I was one of the original three members of the chapter. Prior to that, we didn't talk about it.
Right, I was just going to say, it took me about 15, 20 years before I opened my mouth and let anybody even know I was a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah, and I ask myself and ask other people all the time, why did we do that? And nobody's ever been able to give me a real good answer on why we did it. It just happened. We didn't come home and talk about it for 15, 20 years, and I still to this day don't understand why we did that.
Well, I think one of the things, and Keith, I think you point this out in your documentary, at least from some of the clips, and I can't remember the number right now because I can't have Matt cue it up, but you talk not only about the Vietnam veterans, but you also talk about the protest movement or the anti-war movement that was going on in the Detroit area during this time period, don't you?
Well, you know, this is probably a side note, but still very important. The 60s was probably one of the most defining periods in our history, and people kind of lose sight of that. I mean, it was a significant time in our history. You had British music invasion. You had Motown. You had rock and roll. You had peace, drugs, free love. You had men on the moon. You had assassinations. country that no one ever heard of before. And you put all that together, it was a very tumultuous time. So you had all these things happening at one time, and of course, the protesting for the Vietnam War became huge starting in 68, 69 after the Tet Offensive. I mean, it really became significant. And then it grew, obviously, all the way into the 70s. And you know what? What was interesting finding out is towards the end of the war, a lot of the Vietnam veterans were protesting as well. But what they were protesting wasn't the warrior. It was the administration and how the war was being run. That, hey, wait a minute, you're telling me that we're going to go fight our ass off, take this hill, walk away, have it then taken, and some of our guys were killed? What is wrong with our leadership? What's really going on in Washington? And that's a real, very important aspect of the film, is what was really going on behind the scenes. And, you know, the sad, sad thing is how many names are on that wall in Washington that are there because of maybe the way the war was being run at the time. And, you know, Pat could jump in here and probably articulate far better than I.
Pat, do you want to add to that a little?
Well, I think Keith's right. Those of us that were there know that we never lost the battle. It wasn't us that lost the war. It was the politician. I don't think a lot of people were aware of that when we came home, and I think that's part of the reason that we got the welcome home that we didn't. We choose not to dwell on how we were treated when we got back home. We do have an obligation to make sure it doesn't happen again. We have an obligation to make sure these kids coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan get the welcome home they deserve. And I think part of that is in the film, too. And I think if people take away anything from that, I hope it's that. If they want to make up for the way we were treated, and I tell people this all the time, if you want to really do something to make up for what happened 45 years ago, grab an Iraq or Afghanistan vet, hug him. Welcome them home. Tell them thanks for service. That's what they can do for us today.
Well, that certainly is a message that we're all trying to convey out to the general public around the country, is that these men and women are volunteers. Yes, I know they're volunteers. I don't think they volunteered to go back four or five times, that's for sure. But we got to make sure that they get the care that they deserve, that they get the recognition that they deserve. And they're probably, many of them are like us when we came home. You don't necessarily want to talk about it right away. You need to decompress, and you need to try and figure out what it is that you did and how you survived that. I think that's what's so important. I'm sure, Keith, you've probably got another film in your mind already.
You know what? Right now the focus is really on this film and the Fox event. You know, the Fox event is not just the premiering of a film. It's really an evening. It's an entire evening. It's a very full evening with, you know, the U.S. Army 126th National Guard marching band is going to open the night with Stuart Frankie singing all the branch songs from the military, asking all the members of, we'll have current military there as well as veterans. So if you're Army or Navy, Air Force, you'll stand up and sing your branch song. Cornerstone Schools Choir is doing the national anthem. We have a short film that we're going to play called One Soldier Story about Sergeant Michael Ingram from the Monroe, who was killed in Afghanistan on April 17th, and what it was like. It's an amazing personal film that his family allowed us to do of what it was like for him to go off to war and come home, and how a family deals with it and how a community deals with it. And the significance of the film is that the first group of people there that were there with the family were Vietnam veterans. So we're going to show that night. Captain Ivan Castro from 7th Special Forces in Fort Bragg will be speaking that night. He's coming in from Fort Bragg, an amazing guy. He was blinded in 2006 in Iraq.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and finish that story. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Lance Corporal Roy Wheat threw himself on an anti-personnel mine to save his fellow Marines. Details after this.
You have your boots on, you're wet, you're cold. You feel like it's the land of time I forgot. Drill instructors all over the place, they're like lying. And you ask yourself, my God, what did I get myself into? Your body's screaming, but your mind and your heart tells you, keep on going, don't give up. You question yourself, do I have what it takes to become a United States Marine? In the back of my mind, I knew I was not going to quit on myself. And when you stand there on the parade deck, and that drill instructor comes in front of you, the one that made you better, holds out his hand, shakes your hand, and they call you brother, call you Marine, you break down in tears.
Private Ramon Hernandez became a United States Marine. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES. Maybe you could be one of the few and the proud. Wheat and two other Marines were assigned the mission of providing security for a Navy construction battalion crane and crew operating along Liberty Road in the Quang Nam province. After the Marines had set up security positions in a tree line adjacent to the work site, Wheat reconnoitered the area to the rear of their location for the possible presence of guerrillas. He then returned to within 10 feet of the friendly position and here, unintentionally, triggered a well-concealed, bounding-type anti-personnel mine. Immediately, a hissing sound was heard, which was identified by the three Marines as that of a burning time fuse. Shouting a warning to his comrades, Wheat, in a valiant act of heroism, hurled himself upon the mine, absorbing the tremendous impact of the explosion with his body. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with Keith Famey, who is the producer of Our Vietnam Generation, about the Vietnam veterans of the Metro Detroit area. And that song is that part of your soundtrack?
It is. The song was written and recorded by Steve Pishon, who's a local musician who came to me and said, you know, I'd love to do something for the film. And I said, well, you know what? The whole theme of the night is We Shall Never Forget. He said, well, let me write something on that. He wrote an amazing song that's actually in the film called We Shall Never Forget. That's going to be part of the night, the Fox night. Of course, it's part of the film. You know, just to mention that tickets are available at the Fox box office or Ticketmaster, or you can call our office, 248-869-0096. Tickets are $25 and $35. Our website, you know, ourvietnamgeneration.com, has all the information on it as well. Please, you know, come on out. We really love to see everybody. The house should be full. The Fox can seat almost 4,000, 5,000 people. The house should be full. You know, this is an evening for Vietnam veterans and all veterans. The house should be full. It's their night, you know.
I think it's going to be very, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be very exciting, and I encourage anybody within the 100-mile radius of Detroit to come on down to watch this film. Now, not only is the film premiering then, but it's also going to be on public television in the Detroit area shortly after, isn't it?
Yeah. What we're showing at the Fox is a 110-minute film. The actual DVD, by the way, will be available. The DVD is almost 3 hours. That'll be available tonight at the Fox. But the film will air on February 21st on PBS. It'll be an 82-minute version. So the whole film, to see the whole film, we'll show it at the Fox that night. And of course, the DVD is available.
So the DVD you can order through your website, Our Vietnam Generation, correct?
You can order through the website or at the Fox. You can walk out, cash and carry, and have it in your hand.
There you go. I'm sure that there probably will be other music inside the documentary.
We have taken a great deal of effort to go and secure some really famous songs. That was not easy to do. And when you buy and license music,
right,
you know, songs like, you know, California Dreamin' or what's that one song that's really famous? Well, Devil with the Blue Dress On is on in there. Stuart Frankie, our local Stuart Frankie, has Expecting Heroes is in the song. I'll pull up the whole list of songs in 1 second here.
Well, we know we have Marvin Gaye with What's Going On.
Marvin Gaye is in there, What's Going On. Duke from the Four Tops is in the film talking about what Motown meant to the soldiers. He's in the, his song is in the, one of his songs is in the film. It's gonna have a feeling. It's not a military documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a youth documentary. And it talks about not only the soldiers' experience, but the soldiers' thoughts and life during that era of time. And, of course, music was significant.
I was just talking to Matt there for a second. We were trying to figure out what music that we could play. And you know, since we're a relatively small operation, we don't bother too much with royalties and musical rights. But I'm sure that that's something that's difficult to do.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Eve of Destruction is another song we have in the film. We have animals. We got to get out of this place. We have taken a great deal of time to acquire music that took a long period of time to do, you know, in 1 minute increments for the film.
Sure.
It's not an easy thing to acquire these rights. We had to bring a agent in out of Nashville to actually do this.
Wow.
But I wanted. You know, when Bob and I talked about the film, the significance of the film and the significance of this documentary was, let's do something that's going to resonate and have meaning to these individuals that watched the film that were there. And that music is significant. So, you know, we had a whole philosophy, and, you know, Bob, you know, once again, is a very humble guy, but I said, once we got deep into this project, I said, Bob, you know, you're more than just a sponsor. You're going to be the year the co-executive producer. Because he'd call me with ideas, and we talk about it day in. 2 o'clock in the morning, I get an email from him. I mean, this is a guy that is fully engaged in this, telling the story.
Well,
and
I think Bob's still on the line, aren't you, Bob?
I am, uh-huh.
Yeah, well, isn't it amazing? When we hear this music from that era, it just really, I mean, it's time-tripping us right back to where we were, you know, 45 years ago.
I think that the thought of all this is that everybody, as they walk out of the theater that night, should be feeling better about themselves, feeling better about what they accomplished, feeling better about life in general. And part of it is to not only to say thank you for what you did and that we'll never forget, but it's a healing and a thank you and to make everybody feel better than maybe even when they walked in.
I think what's important to point out is that this is more about the warrior than it is about the war. Because,
yes.
You know, and there's a clip, again, that we have on one of your CDs where a woman, I think she was a nurse, that talks about that.
Elizabeth Allen.
I'm going to ask not to play that clip. I can't remember what number it was, down in the 20s. Matt, if you could play just those two clips from her. She was a nurse in Pleiku.
Our only job as corpsmen, our only job over there was to keep these guys alive.
That's all right.
So
keep
every time
that
somebody
one.
Died... We felt that we failed in our job, and we had to live with that for many years. And I know that's one of the things that I've carried with me for many years, too. Every time somebody died, was there something more I could have done? And finally, I had to come to the realization that we're not in control. God is control. He chooses. And then he steps back to see how we deal with it and how we live with it for the rest of our lives. You can tell the size.
And who was that medic? Keith?
Local guy. He's a medic. This guy, first of all, he's an amazing poet, but he was a medic there that, you know, unfortunately experienced some of the most horrendous things, to see a young man die in his arms more than once and to try to save him. And to have a guy talking to him and saying, hey, doc, I'm going to get out of here now, right? I'm going to go to Japan. I'm going to get milk. I'm going to have beautiful nurses. Yeah, you're going to be, this is all that's going to happen to you. At the same time, he knows that he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Really sensational interview that we were able to have with him, and really a nice man.
I just think it was so amazing, and all the medics that we've talked to on this program and that we know personally, I don't know how they're able to keep their mind together with what they've experienced. We just had a priest on a couple of weeks ago that was in Iraq that was giving last rites to I don't know how many people, and I think we've got the clip now for the nurse. Let's listen to this one.
And probably the worst day, we had 300 body bags lined stacked up. That's a lot of body bags. That's a lot of body bags. And that went on for a real long time. And there was never a break. There was never a break.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. I wanted to play that because it wasn't just men that were warriors over there and that were seeing the sacrifice that the men and women were willing to pay for this war over in the middle of, we didn't even know where the place was.
Right. She was there during the Tet Offensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's talking about, by the way.
Boy, Keith, I just keep thinking as I was listening to those cuts, and I'm sure after we see your documentary, all the programs that people we're going to be able to contact to have on Veterans Radio to tell their stories in a little bit longer format. So I'm very excited to see all of these things. We do have another guest on the line right now, and I'm going to bring him on, and this is Jeff Rector. Is that correct? Jeff, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks. It's great to be on board with you this morning.
I wanted to bring you on because Keith wanted you on the program. He said I needed to contact this gentleman. You were in Vietnam, is that correct?
I was. I enlisted and went to Vietnam in 1970. I was with the 101st Airborne Division, 3rd Brigade, up at Camp Evans, just south of the DMZ.
And then, but you've stayed in because you are now. What is your rank currently?
I'm a Master Sergeant in the United States Army Reserve. I had a hiatus of about 5 years, just like the rest of you. I had to, kind of decompress. It took me about 5 years to get my head screwed back on straight. And I joined the National Guard, went back in there. I realized that I needed the camaraderie.
Mm.
And it was an emotional time. That whole series, those years were emotional, but I think the whole thing is that my way to escape was to put the uniform back on, and so doing it helped me it even helped me heal to a greater degree. So currently, like I said, I'm with the Army Reserve. I'm the Casualty Assistance Coordinator for the Army Reserve. My office has the duty of contacting the families if there is a casualty when Fort Knox contacts us. I'm also the funeral honors coordinator for Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. My teams and myself are out doing funerals pretty much on a daily basis over Michigan and Ohio and Indiana for the veterans, World War II, Korea, now Vietnam.
If you are involved with that, we've only got about a minute till we have to take our next break. I'm going to hold off that. I don't want you to come around on the other side. And maybe we can talk about, just a quick aside, on the benefits that veterans are allowed as far as their funerals are concerned. Because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding with that. I'm going to ask you to hold on. We're talking with Keith Famey and Jeff Rector and Bob Gillette and Pat Daniels about the upcoming documentary that's going to be premiering this coming Friday at the Fox Theater in downtown Detroit, right next to the Hockey Town Cafe and across the street from Comerica Park. So if you're out and about in the Detroit area, you come on down. It sounds like it's going to be a fascinating evening. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We weren't able to get in touch with Senator Papa George, but if he hears that number, maybe he'll give us a call. In the meantime, you're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this message.
Business and individual income tax planning and preparation, QuickBooks training, and payroll services are just some of the professional accounting services available from me, Len Pitlack, CPA. With 30 years of accounting experience and a Washtenaw County business owner myself, I know the business importance of having a sound accounting advisor. Call me at 800-377-7879 and get the answers you need.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
On Veterans Radio, we just had to play a little bit of that because I'm sure that every enlisted man and every enlisted club and every officer's club had karaoke night where everyone would jump up and sing that song at least once an evening. That's all I want to do is I just wanted to go home. You know, we were gonna play, you know, we got to get out of this place, but then I have to listen to the whole song, and that's 7 minutes, so I couldn't do that one. I hope everybody enjoyed that song. That's Bobby Bear, I was told.
You know, for this film, am I on right now?
Yes, everybody's on.
You know, for this film, we had an extraordinary opportunity to do an interview with Eric Burden from The Animals. He's in the film.
I did. I saw that picture. I think I might even have a picture of him somewhere in there. Let me go back. We're talking with Keith Fehman, the producer of Our Vietnam Generation, about Vietnam veterans of the Detroit metro area. The movie is going to be premiering this coming Friday at the Fox Theater, and tickets are available through Ticketmaster, the Fox Theater, or you can go to ourvietnamgeneration.com, and we hope to see you all down there. Those of us at Veterans Radio, we will be there, and we're excited to meet all of you in person and to talk about how we can expand this this whole idea of getting these stories down. These people are just as amazing as the World War II veterans were. We just happen to be I don't want to say we're the greatest of our generation. I put myself in a pool with a lot of incredible men and women.
If I can, the important part of this film, and when you think about it, there were almost 3 million of us that served in Vietnam. And there's only about 1 million left. The Vietnam veterans are dying at the same rate as the World War II veterans, and we're 20 years younger.
Yeah, we're suffering.
Think about those 2 million stories that are never going to be told because they're gone and gone forever, and those opportunities are never going to be there. So that's why it's important that if you get a chance to tell your story, you need to do that because if for yourself or your grandkids or your great grandkids, you know, 40 years down the road, somebody's going to be able to take this video out that Keith did, this documentary, and put it on. And say, there's your great-grandfather. And Dad, listen to what he says. This is who he was.
Hey, Pat, this is Gary Lilly. How are you doing?
Good, Gary. How are you?
I'm terrific, thank you. When I ask people to come on, a lot of them can't talk about their experiences, of course, and I tell them, look, you know, you don't have to explain. I understand. But if I see a little waiver, I say, look, you're not talking just for yourself. As remarkable a thing as you've done, others did it, and you're speaking for them, too. They can't speak for themselves now. You know, you're representing them, and their stories need to be told. And if people will look at it that way, they won't be so reluctant to tell their stories because they're representing other people. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. What they did was honorable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, Gary, if I could break in here for just a second. I think that's one of this is Jeff. It's one of the reasons why I got back involved with this originally when Keith came to me about the Vietnam generation. I was working with him on the Detroit's Greatest Generation, and I kind of shied away from this because it was one of those deals where you knew it was going to dredge up a lot of emotions. But based on what you were saying there. I just, after soul searching, of course, my wife is Vietnamese. I brought her home with me. We've been together going years now, my wife Ann. You know, I just kind of felt that I owed this to my family, and I owed this to my my grandkids. You know, Keith brought up a very important point about bringing young people. In the schools today, they don't teach much about Vietnam.
No, we're at the end of the year. We run out of time.
Yeah, we are. And what happens, what's actually going on is as we were making this film, I was running into some of the people that might have been protesting years ago. They didn't want to get involved. They were, you know, Vietnam is still really a living negative entity, because when you, and I've been in since we've had Panama and Grenada, and everything that's negative about a war is compared to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about this actual documentary is you're going to see a lot of positive things. There were soldiers over there in Vietnam that build orphanages for the Vietnamese, just like they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan now. You know, there's a lot of positive things that came out of Vietnam. Our technology you know, we still have loss of life and wars, but not like back then.
Yes.
So, you know, if it wasn't for Mr. Gillette and Keith, these stories wouldn't be told, and I appreciate that very much.
Right.
I think one of the things, too, about this documentary is that it's a learning tool, that it can be used for the next generation. It can be used for college students.
Yes.
It can be used in churches. It could be used in virtually any university or college.
Absolutely.
It explains the conflict in ways that maybe hasn't been explained in the past. So I think what Keith is saying is if we could get the video into the hands of other people after the show, it has an effect, a feeling of helping, of an educating, and it definitely has an educational feel to it. Keith, why don't you elaborate on the professor from Wayne State that helped you edit this?
Well, we have two professors that are in the film, actually. ML Liebler and Melvin Small, both are from Wayne State. You know, both have great input in the documentary, as you'll see. But, you know, something that is, I'm going to just bring this home really simple for Vietnam veterans, for any veteran. The deal that really sealed the deal for me when I know, you know, as you're doing something and you're filming and you're raising money and you spend 16 months on something, you start questioning yourselves along the way. Am I doing the right thing? Is this worth it? Are we ever going to get this done? Is the money ever going to show up? Whatever. I was with a group of teenagers, and I said, I was talking about this film, and one of them said, "What's the Pau Maya thing?" I said, "What do you mean Pau Maya?" I said, "What's that Pau Maya thing? You see it all the time." I said, "You don't know what POWMIA stands for? What does that mean?" That's when I realized this film needs to be done. Right? That simple thing, Pau Maya. Oh, my gosh. Think about it.
You know, it's amazing. We, and probably you guys do too, but we go into classrooms quite often to talk about Vietnam and so forth, and the questions, they just blow your mind. The lack of historical background and the lack of understanding it just amazes me on a regular basis.
I don't think Vietnam is taught in school. I really don't. I mean, if it is, it can't be more than that. They can't spend more than 5 minutes on it, because this lack of knowledge is predominant.
Well, I totally agree, and we're coming up toward the end of the program. Here we got about 2.5 minutes. Keith, is there anything else that you would like to add? And I'm going to ask the rest of you to drop a comment in here too.
No, I just encourage that every Vietnam veteran, every veteran out there from any wars that's listening to the show, please come down to the Fox, support the film, support the work of everybody from Pat Daniels to Jeff Rector, Bob Gillette, ourselves, everything we've done on this film. Bring somebody with you that can learn from it. You'll walk away enriched by the evening, the whole evening. We're closing the night with a candle vigil with the Perfecting Church singing Amazing Grace. On the screen is going to scroll the 2,654 names of Michigan soldiers and current soldiers that have been killed in the conflicts of war with a candle vigil on the stage. It's going to be an amazing evening of how this night's going to close. And I just say, you know, come out and enjoy it. It's special.
All right, thank you. So I can see I'm going to have to get myself emotionally prepared for this starting right now.
Yes, you are.
Bob, any comments you'd like to make? You still there, Bob Gillette? Nope, I guess not. Pat?
To express to Keith and to Bob how grateful we are, to Keith in particular, for even thinking that our stories were important enough to tell.
Yes.
Most of us, I think, just went back into society like most veterans and tried to deal with it best we could. And for Keith to come and decide that the stuff we did was important enough to tell other people about, we are forever in his debt and grateful for his effort.
Thank you. Jeff?
I'm honored to do it.
Jeff?
Yes, just a couple of things. First, many thanks to Keith and Bob. But I think the greatest thing that I just want to say, I'm really thankful that out of all of this in 1980, my experience in Vietnam brought me to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and my family followed suit, and my life has been changed ever since. And so with Keith and Bob and putting this out there for the rest of us to see, it's an opportunity for others to maybe come face-to-face with the Lord and maybe get some help from the spiritual side where we really need to be.
Thank you so very much. I want to thank all three of you for being on Veterans Radio this week. Next week, we're going to be doing a program on submarines, and Bob Gould will be the host of that. Until then, make sure you go to the Fox Theater. You are dismissed.
Not all views and opinions expressed on this program reflect the views of Veterans Radio or your local station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.